We are in a sermon series called Coincidences or Divine Providence. And I think this is so interesting because there are events that happen in our lives, and there's always that question, was this a coincidence or did God do this? And I think they happen all the time. I think they're going on all around us, and I think God is often involved. He's orchestrating things, and they're coming together. And I think often these so-called coincidences are really not coincidences. I think they're the hand of God. I think often he uses them to answer our prayers. And if you have eyes to see, you'll see, oh, that's God. He's answered my prayer, or he's trying to show me something. I just had a situation just recently, a couple weeks back. I was praying about something, opportunity to do something on a certain day. Not a big deal, but I was thinking, should I do that? And then I look at my calendar, it's like, I already scheduled to do something on that day months ago. So I was thinking, I think I'll cancel that, And then I was thinking, God, what do you want me to do this new thing? You want me to cancel? And so I'm praying about it. And it just so happens, a day or so later, this person who's organizing the event sends me a text and says, hey, I'm really excited about this event coming up and looking forward to seeing you there. And just a hello. And so I thought, well, no, that's peculiar. Like, no reason for them to send me the text. It isn't happening for a while. And then I was like, is that a coincidence or is that the hand of God? Is God trying to speak to me? I was praying about something, and is God trying to answer my prayer? And I decided, that was God telling me I should go ahead with the event that I had scheduled months ago and not do this new thing. And I think this happens a lot in our lives. I think a lot of times we miss the coincidence and we don't realize it's the hand of God. The Bible is filled with stories like this. I mean, from Genesis to Revelation, there's all these stories and they're just fascinating. Katie started us off last week with the story of Ruth and Boaz. It's in the book of Ruth, and it's amazing how this lady just happens to end up in this guy Boaz's field and just happens to be related and ends up marrying him, and she ends up in the lineage of Jesus. No coincidence. It was the hand of God orchestrating this. And many, many stories in the Bible. The story of Abraham and Isaac. Abraham's told by God to offer Isaac, his son, as a sacrifice. He goes up in the mountain to offer his son. And just as he's going to offer his son as a sacrifice, it just so happens that a ram is caught in the bushes and he's able to offer the ram. God tells him to offer the ram. There's the story of the king in the book of Esther. And this king couldn't sleep one night, and so he wakes up and he sits up and decides he's going to read stories about some of the events that have happened while he was king. And it just so happens that he reads a story about a man who saved his life, Mordecai. And he says to his servant, did we ever reward him? No. He goes, we're going to reward him. And as it turns out, by rewarding Mordecai, he ends up saving the nation of Israel. No coincidence there. The story of Pharaoh's daughter, who just so happens to be walking by the Nile River on the day that Moses' mother puts him in a basket, and he's floating there, and he just so happens to cry, and she just so happens to find him and raise him, and he becomes trained in the Egyptian way. I mean, there's so many. The story of the birth of the Messiah. The prophets in the Old Testament said the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. Well, you find out from reading the Gospels, Joseph and Mary were not in Bethlehem. They were up in Nazareth, 100 plus miles away. And she was pregnant, and you can see in the story, they weren't planning on going to Bethlehem. They were planning on having that baby in Nazareth. And it just so happens that the Roman emperor decides, you know what? I think we're going to tax all these Jews. And what I'm going to do is have them go back to the town of their lineage, their parents, and pay their tax there. And it just so happens Joseph is from Bethlehem. So he just so happens to have to go back to Bethlehem, and the Messiah is born where the prophet said. So there's just many, many stories like this. And I think there's stories like that in your life. And I think what we want to be doing is learning how to look for the hand of God in these situations and see if God's trying to speak to us. So this morning we'll look at another story. It's found in the book of Acts chapter 8. If you want to turn to that, chapter 8. It's a story of a man named Philip. And we'll read in verse 20, start in verse 26. Now, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise, go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning, just so happened to be returning, and sitting in his chariot, he just so happened to be reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near, overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him, and he just so happened to hear him reading from the prophet Isaiah. And he said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at the scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, raptured him, took him away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, it's about 40 miles away. And passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Man, how about that for a story? I mean, this is really crazy, but it starts with God speaking to Philip here. It says in verse 26, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, and then you go down to verse 29, then the Spirit said to Philip. So anytime I see these kind of passages, I always want to stop and just ask, like, how exactly did God speak to him? Well, it says in verse 26, an angel. Well, I would think, you know, if an angel appears to me at night or in a dream or something, I'm pretty sure I'm going to say that's God. I don't think you have too much trouble with that one. But where it says here, the Spirit said to Philip, you want to ask, how did the Spirit say that to Philip? I think in the movies you always think, you hear it's like, you know, Philip, it's always a deep voice and it's loud and, you know, it's an, I don't think that's what it was. I think it's a inner prompting that he felt and heard in his heart. You read on in the book of Acts, there's other references where it says, and the Spirit said, there's one in Acts chapter 16, it said, and the Spirit forbade them to go to this certain place. And I don't think it was an audible voice. I think it's an inner prompting. And I think as you grow in your relationship with God, that becomes real. I do believe God does speak to us. I do believe it, you can say the Spirit said. It may sound weird to people, but I believe God still speaks today. And it speaks on the inside. And I think sometimes, or many times, there's probably always a little element of the unknown. Like, I'm pretty sure it's God. I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure it's God. But in this story, the angel tells Philip to do something that's kind of crazy here. It doesn't really make any sense. Because if you read back in the beginning part of chapter 8, what you find out is, Philip ended up being sent out of Jerusalem. He went north to this area of Samaria, and he's preaching the gospel there. And in the chapter 8, it tells you, the beginning of chapter 8, that a great revival had broken out. Many people had gotten saved. People were being healed. Demons were being cast out. It was such a major revival that they heard about it down in Jerusalem. And so they sent up the apostles to go find out about this. And the apostles come up, and there's this great move of God's Holy Spirit. And here's Philip in the middle of it. And right in the middle of it, he hears an angel say to him, "I want you to leave this area and go south. It's about 100 miles to Gaza. And I just want you to go there." No explanation, nothing. This is about, from where Philip was to the Gaza would be, if he's walking, 5 days. It's a week's journey. And there's nothing down there. It even says, this is desert. This is desert. So he gets there, and now here's where you see these coincidences. He gets there. I'm sure at first he's looking around going, what am I doing here? This is crazy. This is where you get these coincidences. It just so happens that when he gets there, it just so happens that there's a caravan moving through at that on that day. When he arrives, just so happens this caravan's moving. In the caravan, it just so happens that there's this guy who's searching after God. He had gone up to Jerusalem. We're not sure what happened there, but on his way back, he's reading scripture, and it appears he didn't run into any of the disciples of Jesus. So it just so happens that he's in the caravan. It just so happens that he's reading scripture, and it just so happens that he's reading scripture about prophecies of Jesus. I mean, it just goes on and on. So these coincidences, just too many. There's just too many here. These are not coincidences. This is God in a miraculous way orchestrating things. And I believe this is partly why sometimes God cannot explain himself to us, because it would just blow your mind. He's orchestrated this guy to come up to Jerusalem and spend this time and have this caravan going at this time. He's got Philip, and he's getting Philip down there and has him there. Just, I mean, he's got him reading the scripture at just this time. And I mean, this is the hand of God. And I think sometimes people, you know, when it comes to coincidences, I think sometimes we miss it because we break our life into two categories. We have the important things, and then we have the unimportant things. Like, the important things are the big things in our life. Like, should I move or should I not move? Should I marry him or her? Should I not marry him or her? Should I make this purchase of this house? Should I not make this purchase? And so, and those things, we all would agree, you know, God is, you know, interested in those, and we should be praying about them. But when it comes to the unimportant things, I think most of us struggle with thinking, really, God is going to be interested in that little thing? I mean, he's holding the universe together. This is a sovereign God, and you know, I can't find my keys, and you know, is God going to help me find my key? I mean, I never have that problem. I'm just thinking Pastor Mark or something, you know. I can't find my wallet, you know. Where's my other shoe? And you hesitate to think, could I really ask God about that? Really? I mean, really? And so there's this thought like, well, you know, maybe he's not going to be involved in that. But I say the scriptures are very, very clear that God is interested in everything in your life. Everything. The big things and the little things. And many times he's moving things around, getting situations to unfold that this can come to pass in your life. Jesus said in the Gospel of Luke that God's so interested in you that he knows every hair on your head. I'm glad I'm helping God out in that area, but that's just, you know, one thing he doesn't have to worry about. But and he says in Matthew that God knows if a sparrow falls to the ground, he notices. So when it comes to these events happening, it's biblical to look for the hand of God and to say, I believe God's speaking to me here. These things can happen when you bump into somebody you haven't seen in a long time. Be open. Maybe God's trying to say something. This can happen if someone calls you on the phone you haven't heard in a long time, heard from. Or you're in conversation with someone and they say something and you go, you know, that's really interesting you said that. That's something I was praying about. Or you meet a new person. I mean, these are divine providence. These are the hand of God where he's moving. And if you don't have eyes to see and you don't believe that God will answer your prayer and will show you what you need, and don't limit God so that when you pray, it's like God has to answer this way only. I'm convinced he answers many times through things we might think are coincidences, but in fact they're not. They are the divine intervention of God in our lives, trying to guide us so that he could bring to pass things that he wants in our lives. Now, this story has got like so many moving parts. I mean, and there's so many things that I get out of this story. First of all, I just want to say I applaud the eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch. Here's a guy that's not Jewish, and yet he's hungry for God, And in his quest, there's God orchestrating his life, whether he even knows it or not. And he's going to Jerusalem and doesn't meet any of the disciples of Jesus. We're not sure what happens, but on his way back, he's still reading scripture. He's searching for God. And so God works it out. And you know, kudos to that guy because he didn't give up. But I think it's Philip who has the story to tell here. Although I'm sure the Ethiopian eunuch had a story to tell when he got back to Ethiopia. You're never going to believe this. I was reading scripture, and this total strange dude walked up to me and explained the scriptures I was reading. I mean, that's a story. What about Philip's story? Could you imagine him telling this story years later? I mean, you'd be sitting at the table, and Philip would go, you know, one time I was up in Samaria, and I felt like the Lord wanted me to go to this place, and I went there, and the weirdest thing happened. I bump into this guy, and he's reading. I mean, what a story. But let me help you out here a little bit. If you want these kind of stories in your life, lesson number one, good stories come at a price. I've said this often to people, but if you want to have a life of adventure and you want to have a story like Philip in your life, which I think we could all have, somebody's got to pay for this. In other words, Philip had to take the risk to leave Samaria and go to Gaza. He felt it was the Lord, an angel had spoken to him. Philip had to take a risk when he saw the caravan. He wasn't invited to it. He was a total stranger. It's no different than you being at a store and God inspiring you to go talk to some stranger, or God laying it on your heart to reach out to a coworker or a neighbor. I mean, these are uncomfortable situations, and they take you out of your comfort zone, but that's the price. You're not going to have these adventures unless you're willing to just kind of, you know, get a little on the edge there. Do something that's a little outside of your lane. I'm not talking about being crazy or anything like that. I'm talking about sensing the Holy Spirit. You know, in Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah, when he talked about God speaking to him, he said it this way, God laid it on my heart. There's different ways you can say it, but it is God speaking to you. And if you do something, then this unfolds, and all of a sudden you look at that like, wow, that is quite a story. Someone's got to pay for the story. In financial, you know, you want to see supernatural divine hand of God financially, sometimes you got to take a risk. You have to step out there. And it's not like you're going to win all the time, but you learn and you grow and you build a life of stories like this. You know, one of the books I've written over the years, it's just called Adventures with God, and it's just a collection of stories of just things that happen, you know, just so happen, which I see in the story that I tell. Like, no, man, they didn't just so happen. They're the divine hand of God. Second thing that truly jumps out here, and it really jumps out when you get to verse 30, is this thing, timing is important in the kingdom of God. Timing is really important. It says here, so Philip ran to the caravan. Philip ran. Can you just imagine? Think about how this timing is so precise. You know, Philip feels the Spirit telling him to go join the caravan. He's thinking, oh man, it's noon. I'm going to grab a burger first, get something to eat. I'll catch him later. You know, or Philip just moseys on over and gets there 15 minutes later. And then, oh, the eunuch's taking a nap. He finished his devotions. I think when our timing is off and we don't respond to the Holy Spirit when he says to respond, and then we change and we respond later, this is what confuses us often, because we say, well, I obeyed God. I did what he wanted me to do. Yeah, you did, but he wanted you to do that yesterday. And so you may be doing what God wants, and then there's no power there. There's no nothing, and you're wondering, well, what happened? I just tell you that being quick to respond to the Holy Spirit is really, really, really important. A day late, you miss it. You can really miss it. And then what goes along with that, the third thing, is just this idea that availability is more important than your ability. The fact that Philip was flexible enough to move around and change allowed him to experience this incredible story. I mean, this is like just miraculous stuff. But I think it's because he's just flexible. He's not so set in his ways. And I think sometimes we've just got to be careful that we're not, you know, you get up in the morning, you got your routine down, you know what you're going to do, you know where you're going, you know who you're going to talk to, and that's fine. We should have schedules. You know, we shouldn't just be wandering around. But in that, you just have to be, a little bit more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. If God wants you to change a little bit today and rearrange it, you have to go, I really think the Holy Spirit wants me to do this. And then you go and do it, and then something unfolds, and you go, wow, look at God, look at God. Which, by the way, I would highly recommend when you experience these divine hand of God experiences in your life, it's so good to write those down. You know, keep a little diary, because they're your stories, and they're so real, and they're supernatural. They're not just coincidences. You know, people think, there's like two ways you can define a coincidence. You can say it's either a random chance. So a definition of coincidence is a series of events that happens that have significant meanings. But the question is, are they random or are they divinely inspired? And personally, I think it takes more faith to believe they're random than to think I've got a God who's working things out in my life. There's just way too many things that happen here that to say it's random just won't work. And so it's Philip's availability. So that just helps all of us realize, you know, God's not looking for, you know, the smartest people and the most handsome people and the best educated people and the people with the most money and the people who have it all together. Paul says that's not who he's looking for. He's looking for people that are willing to say yes. Willing people that are flexible, willing to change. And here's Philip doing something that looks totally crazy. As a matter of fact, you know, when God asks us to do things like this, and he's putting stuff together, he doesn't always explain himself. I think sometimes he just can't. We can't comprehend it. But I think sometimes revelation, you know, will follow obedience. It doesn't precede it. And then often you may do something and you may not see the full revelation. Like in Philip's case here, he leaves this incredible move of God where it appears hundreds of people are being saved. And he goes to this journey and he preaches the gospel. And yes, the guy is this influential person in Ethiopia. But you could easily see Philip saying, really, God? Really? You had me go, you had me leave Samaria to come down here to preach to this one guy just that he might be saved? And then God would be saying, yeah, Philip, that's right. That's right. That's right. I wanted you to go preach this guy. Now according to history, it appears this guy went down to Ethiopia and brought the Christian faith there, and many people were saved as a result of this event in Philip's life. So really, in summary, we're just looking at situations, events that happen in our lives, and we're asking, are they coincidence or are they God? And I'm here to tell you this morning that the Bible is filled with stories like this, and the reason it's filled with stories like this is because your life should be filled with stories like this. God orchestrates events. You're not just going through life on your own and random things are happening. And I think probably more often than not, God is using these events to bring answers to our prayers. I think he's using these events to guide us that we can do the things he wants us to do. And in closing, there's just a great passage in Timothy. Paul wrote to Timothy chapter 4. And in Timothy, he said, Timothy, be instant in season and out of season. What that means is in one sense, it's easy to be ready to be used by God when you're thinking and prepared. Like, for instance, on Sunday, like, okay, this is my God time. So I'm listening to God. I want to be used by God. And we should be. We should be very open to the Holy Spirit on Sunday. But what about when you leave the building? That's out of season. You know, when you go to work, in your neighborhood, with your family, with your friends. And Paul's saying, just be alert. Be sensitive, because God's on the move. God is on the move. And he's working in your life to bring about answers to your prayers and to guide you so that he can accomplish the things he wants to accomplish. So let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you that nothing happens in our lives that's just a random chance, that we have surrendered our lives to you, God, and, And I thank you that you are interested in the intricate details of our lives. Not just the big things, but you're interested in everything. And I'm asking, God, that we would be sensitive to when things are unfolding, that we would look for your hand and say, I think, God, you're speaking to me here. And we can see your hand in chance meetings and things we hear and people we talk to and things happening that we recognize you're speaking. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you just speak to us in our inner man, that we have a real relationship with you. Thank you, Father. I just want to take a moment here as we're getting ready to close with our time for worship, but as I'm talking about no coincidences, you know, is it possible that there's some people here today that are here for a specific reason? You know, that maybe you've been wondering about God in your life. You never really have taken that step where you said, I surrender my life to you, God. I don't think anybody shows up at church on Sunday by coincidence. I think every one of us are drawn here by the Holy Spirit, whether we recognize it or not. And there's an event that God wants to take place on Sunday morning where we connect with him. But I just wonder this morning if there might be somebody here that God's stirring your heart and you're realizing, you know, I feel a longing. Something's missing in my life and I think it's God. And I say, it's no coincidence you're here. It's no coincidence that we're talking about this morning. And I just want to take a moment and invite the Holy Spirit to just move among us and knock at the door of your heart if he's calling you, and just to give you a chance to respond, to say yes, yes. And we'll just ask you to just raise your hand, and we're just going to pray a simple prayer with you right where you're at. And I believe that'll begin the journey, right? Yeah, there's a hand up already in the back there, yeah. Yeah, hold it up, sister. Are there other people here this morning? Just, you're not here by coincidence. God's tugging at your heart. Yeah, brother, all the way in the back. Hold your hand up. Come on. This is no coincidence. This is where you begin to say, oh, I see God here. God tugging at my heart. Anybody else this morning? We're just going to pray with you. We're going to go into worship. Anybody else this morning? Are there some people here this morning that you're like, you're really needing God to do something, like you've been praying and specifically need a touch from God's Holy Spirit this morning, like you're on the edge and you need some help? And is there somebody here this morning? I just sense right here, sister, you hold your hand up. Is there anybody else here this morning? All the way back over here, another hand over here, right here. Yeah, I see this hand. Okay, I'll tell you what we're going to do. I want to first pray a simple prayer for the two of you that raised your hand, just a real simple prayer, allowing God to honor your response and come into your lives and begin to fill you. And then we're going to pray for those that need a touch by the Holy Spirit. So let's just pray this together. Father, I open my heart to you right now, and I invite you into my life. And I thank you for forgiving my sins. And I thank you that you love me and you're interested in my life. Guide me from this point out. In Jesus' name I pray right now. In Jesus' name. Just come, Holy Spirit, right now. Just open your heart right here, all the way in the back. Open your heart. Just like air, breathe it in right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, right now. In the name of Jesus, brother. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Receive the Holy Spirit right now. Stuff you're facing, God is involved. God is involved. I believe he's going to open your eyes that you see his hand and give you the wisdom to make the decision that's right for you, your family, for the kingdom of God. A couple of these people that raised their hands, just hold your hand up again, those who were wanting, just the Holy Spirit.